As we continue to feel the effects of our current moment, we see the brokenness of the world more clearly. We feel the ache of a world not the way it should be. For followers of Jesus, it stokes a longing for the promise of redemption. We long for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello, friends, and good morning, good afternoon. It's good to be with you. This is Common Prayer for Tuesday, March 31st, and we are so grateful you would tune in. Again, it brings a lot of comfort to realize that there are many of us across the Bay Area that are tuning in for this simple act of unity to just pray and spend a moment seeking God together. So thank you for joining us. This is day two of our prayerful working through the Lord's Prayer. And you know, yesterday when I introduced this, what we're going to do this week, we looked at how the Lord's Prayer is really this gift that Jesus gives to the church. In Matthew's Gospel, it comes right smack in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had just declared in Matthew 4 that the kingdom of God is near. And that's not a chronological thing. That's a spatial thing. It means near as in it's available to us here and now. And so he says the kingdom of God is near. And then he goes on for three chapters telling you how to live into the kingdom of God, which really is the Sermon on the Mount. And so right in the center of this sort of kingdom manifesto is this prayer. When Jesus says, this is the way you pray, it is in some ways distills down so much of life in the kingdom of God right here and right now. You know, one of the distinctives of this prayer too is its willingness to enter into like the raw humanity of life. You know, this prayer doesn't skirt the human struggles. You know, it speaks of hunger. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of temptation and failure. And it meets us in our moment. And what's one of the things I love about it, because the real rawness of it in some ways unites us. As so many of us now feel acutely the brokenness of the world, we enter into this prayer knowing that Jesus is not shocked by that brokenness. He's not turned away by that brokenness, but rather, as we talked about yesterday, he is our Father. And we talked about this, our Father, in two ways. Really, you know, the first is this intimate title of a parent's love for their children. But then also, you know, the first time it comes up is when God is saving his people from Egypt. It's this liberative act. And so there's this intimacy and this liberation in this title of our Father. But then there's also this second part of this first line, which says, hallowed be your name, this transcendence. And so we prayed through yesterday this idea that God is both intimate and transcendent. And so as we move to this first petition in the prayer, we do so holding in that image of God as our Father, whose name is to be hallowed. And then we get to this next line, and it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, as we move forward, there's a few things I think we need to clarify here. Is first, this petition for God's kingdom to come, particularly when we pray in a minute for it to come on earth as it is in heaven, really necessitates a here and now-ness. If God's kingdom is to come, it's the vision is not some sort of disembodied spiritual reality, but rather it's an imminent near reality. If God's kingdom is to come, it's to come here, it's to come in this place, in this time. You know, so often we think of the kingdom of God and we allow images of sort of clouds and galaxies far, far away and these sorts of things that fill our imagination of what it must be. But the reality is this, is the kingdom coming is earthy. It is, N.T. Wright speaks of it this way. He says that heaven and earth, biblically speaking, are two interlocking arenas of God's good world. So he calls that earth is our dimension. It's the human space. It's our world. And heaven is God's dimension. It's God's space. But the two co-mingle. When Jesus announces that the kingdom of heaven is near, he's announcing that these two kingdoms, God's space and earth space, are interlocking. And if you pay attention to the whole story of scriptures, you know, it begins with this Garden of Eden when God is dwelling with his people, and then sin enters and it separates, and there's this distance. But yet when Jesus comes, he brings back that kingdom in some way. But yet, we see at the end of the story in Revelation that the kingdom of God is not fully consummated, is not fully arrived. Because the one writing in Revelation looks up to heaven and sees the new city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven to earth. That there is this sense that we ultimately hope for heaven and earth to be fully reunited. And so we live in this space where Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom, and yet it is still not fully here. And so we see this tension. We see brokenness. We see both beauty and goodness and justice and glimpses of the kingdom of heaven here and now. But yet we also see coronavirus, and we see slavery, and we see brokenness and disease, because these two kingdoms are both at play. And so this prayer is, as we look to our Father in heaven, we look to our Father to be present and near, but then to also bring about that kingdom more fully. You see, to pray your kingdom come is to seek God in this moment. It's to seek that God would bring his rule as the king of the world, a world of justice and righteousness and shalom and wholeness. It's to speak of that heavenly reality to be more manifest here and now. Not as some disembodied escape, but rather as the reconciliation, the redemption of this place here and now. And on the other side of it, there's also the sense that to pray your kingdom come also means that we recognize it's not fully here. And so we sit in the pain, we sit in the brokenness, we sit in the disease, the suffering, the loss of jobs, the economic fallout, the confusion, the questions. We recognize that if we're praying your kingdom come, it means it's not here yet. And church, for many of us, I don't think this prayer could come at a better time. Because so many of us struggle with the fear and the anxiety of this moment, that as we pray your kingdom come, your will be done, we recognize that there's parts of it that don't seem to be happening now. And we need this prayer. But it's a prayer that also remembers that God is with us in that time. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays, filled with anguish, "Lord, may this cup pass from me, but if not my will, but your will be done." It's a moment where God himself is feeling pain, is feeling hurt, is feeling anguish. And so we join in that prayer and we pray, "God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so what we want to do is, again, settle in to your chair. And as we pray this morning, I just want us to focus on this idea that the recognition of the brokenness of the world is very real. But yet we want to seek out and we want to cry out and say, "God, your kingdom come, your will be done." And so let's take a moment and just slow your breathing down. Again, slow your breath to slow your mind. Come back to the moment. Again, follow the cadence of your breath. Let's begin with that opening line of this prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Again, spend a moment considering God as Father, as a loving parent. And then as we move on to the line we want to focus on today, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to highlight the ways in which you recognize God's kingdom isn't here. Maybe you're facing some depression and you need to pray, "God, your kingdom come." Maybe you're facing that loneliness and that fear of what's next and you need to pray, "Your kingdom come." Maybe you know medical workers or health officials who are facing a difficult circumstances and you pray your kingdom come. Maybe you're uncertain about your job. You're uncertain about how rent's going to be paid. Spend a moment, pray your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Not in some distant place, but on earth as it is in heaven. In Foster City as it is in heaven. In San Mateo as it is in heaven. In San Bruno as it is in heaven. In Burlingame as it is in heaven. In Belmont, and Atherton, and Colma, and South City, and San Francisco, and Pacifica, and Millbrae, and Menlo Park, and Hayward, in the Bay Area as it is in heaven. Spend a moment reflecting and asking the Spirit to highlight where is it that you could pray on behalf of. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a loved one. But allow the Spirit to highlight a name, a face. And spend a moment praying, your kingdom come, your will be done with them as it is in heaven. Maybe just spend one more moment in gratitude. Allow your mind to drift to the reality that God knows what you're going through. He understands hurt and pain and is with you. And spend a moment praying that in gratitude. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen and amen.
Well, thanks for joining us in common prayer. Our prayer is that our church family would continue to connect with each other and grow in our connection and relationship with God. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed. Music is written and produced by myself, Brandon Passion. Be sure to check back daily for new episodes at cpc.org.